You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. So President Obama is targeting middle-class voters during a three-day, four-state political tour this week to deal with some very negative polling, which suggests the Democrats are going to get punished for something in November. And we were talking yesterday about what it means to be middle class, the economics of what it means to be middle class, and also this middle class idea as a state of mind and really as in some sense an invention of American society itself. Joining us now is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner in the New York Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we had a fascinating discussion yesterday and got a lot of listeners to tell us what it was that symbolized their entrance into the middle class. This is a place where psychology meets economics, right?
That's right. You know, one thing I was thinking about listening to the show yesterday was the other conversation you and I, John, have been having on here about income inequality, because income inequality was the highest in the 20s, and then it fell dramatically, and the pie was carved up more evenly in the 1950s and 60s, and that is when this social idea of the middle class, sociologists actually started studying the middle class, came about right when income inequality was the lowest. And now it's risen, so the middle class idea is kind of being questioned. But that's where it started.
And the other transformation here is a middle class that believes it has financial options and cash to spend is an engine to an economy. But a middle class that feels that it's struggling and is holding its pocketbook closed, that's a very different phenomenon.
That's right. You know, in other recessions, it's been much easier for the economy to get out of it because this middle class wasn't stretched so tight and they were able to go out and go shopping. And now, not so many people are going shopping.
Well, the recovery depends on the state of mind of people like this fellow.
Hi, this is Pablo. I'm in Fort Lauderdale. I earn over $100,000 a year. My wife is a stay-at-home mom. I have three children. And that's what puts me into the middle class.
People like Pablo are a declining breed, statistics would tend to tell us, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, and another thing that's interesting about the middle class is sociologists for a while, before women went into the workplace as much, defined the upper middle class versus the lower middle class as the upper is where people could afford to have their wife stay at home. So that listener, you know, would in those old definitions fit there. But you're right, it's more rare.
Here's a woman's voice.
This is Beth calling from New York. I've been retired about 7 years by a stroke of luck, being a civil servant who worked nearly 40 years. My retirement pay is almost equal to the pay that I had while I was working. I'm able to maintain an apartment in New York and a vacation home in Florida. So I guess you can say I really feel middle class.
And Beth's story really represents a transformation that's taken place since the 30s. Social Security was all about the fact that aging Americans typically went into poverty, not into the middle class. That's been completely turned around here.
Absolutely, but at, you know, quite a cost.
At quite a cost? In what
sense? Well, you know, I mean, we're all worried about what's going to happen to Social Security and all of these social benefits. It's expensive for the government to pay for that.
All right, here's another voice.
My name's Paul, and I'm in Georgia, southeast. If being in the middle class is based on your spending power, or being the working poor is based on not having any spending power, then I'm now working poor because everything I make goes to pay my bills. If being in the middle class is based on still having some nicer things than maybe the working poor has, I still own my house, I still have my vehicles and a few of the things that I've amassed, but damn sure can't afford to go buy anything.
Let's amplify those thoughts and come back and talk about it. Listen to this.
Hi, this is Tyson. I'm calling from Rhode Island. As long as we follow the dream with the house, with the white picket fence, we're all pretty much enslaved to work. That middle class is gone.
Now, those sentiments, it seemed to me, really characterize what this recession and the slow recovery is all about right now.
That's right. You know, Elizabeth Warren, you know, the Harvard professor who's now going to be leading this consumer protection agency, she really made a lot of her mark early on, over a decade ago, documenting how the income for the middle class hadn't gone up much, but expenses had. And she documented how, look, these people don't have any money to spend. And that's even before the financial crisis. So you're right. There are, people do feel completely spending constrained.
Todd Zwillick down in Washington, are you in the middle class?
I'm a public radio reporter. I'm aspiring to the middle class.
Aspiring to the middle class.
I'm joking. Well, of course, it's a bit of a joke there. But Louise, you know, the middle class is about spending power, of course. But part of it to me was always about leisure time. You have something, you have time to do something other than work, work, work. Do Americans have a sense of that, that it's about something other than just working for a paycheck 12 hours a day?
Well, you know, another interesting transformation for the middle class is, of course, that we've moved away from the hourly wage being the typical thing people in the middle make because we don't have as many manufacturing jobs where you clock in and clock out. Now more people are professional, which, you know, comes with, you know, a nice lifestyle change for people. But when you're a professional, there isn't usually a clock in, clock out. You're on duty all the time. So that's changed the way middle class people live as well, not as much leisure time.
You know, it seems the message for President Obama this week is whether the government can come up with policies that will help people like this.
I'm Roy from Chattanooga, and I do consider myself middle class, but I really have to work at it. My wife and I have a combined income somewhere around $75,000-$80,000 a year. We live in the house in our neighborhood that keeps property values low. But we really have to work at trying to stay middle class. And I know my parents, when I was growing up, they paid off a house in 5 years, three-bedroom house, full basement. There's no way I can do that.
Roy's story, it seems to me, is the sweet spot for Barack Obama and the Democrats. If they want to help, if they can help Roy, they're going to help themselves.
And, you know, I think where we're moving as a society, John, is that Roy is going to become more what we all think of as the middle class and perhaps aspire to that frugality. So instead of us thinking, oh, you've made it in the middle class, if you can go buy two new cars and if you can go travel to Europe, you know, middle class became kind of flashy in recent years. I think people like Roy, who are saying, I work hard and I'm frugal, are going to be where more people are looking to live like.
A downsized but struggling middle class, according to Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner at The New York Times. That's the future. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.